Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship service. Thank you so much for being here. You know, ever since the teams for tonight's Super Bowl have been decided, this matchup has been analyzed and broken down and looked at, from all possible angles. And I want to look at another epic matchup. True story from the Bible, from Genesis chapter 6 this morning, where we see on one side, Noah, and on the other side, we see everybody else. Genesis chapter 6 is a showdown between Noah and the world. We opened with chapter 6, reading verses 5 through 8. I appreciate that scripture reading, which lets us know the condition of the field. The world is in terrible shape here. The Bible says that the thoughts and the imaginations on man's heart was only evil continually. And that describes a pretty bleak picture. Man is not doing what God wants him to do, not even close. And there's one standout, and it's Noah, who in verse 8, we're told, finds grace, loving favor in the eyes of the Lord. In verse 9, we're told that Noah was a just man. Noah was different from the world, and he versus the world here in Genesis chapter 6. And there are some big lessons we can learn from this matchup. Let's get started with number one. Wickedness should trigger our righteousness. Noah lived in a dark world, and he was different from this world. We'll talk more about that in a second. Peter describes Noah in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, as a preacher of righteousness. 2 Peter 2, 5, Noah is a preacher of righteousness during this time. And those words, preacher and righteousness, they let us know kind of what Noah's doing here. He is a herald. He is a proclaimer of what God wants. And what God wants right now in Genesis chapter 6 is very different from what the world is giving him. What God says in Genesis chapter 6 is really, really different from what the world is saying in Genesis chapter 6. And so Noah is alone here. He is letting people know what God wants them to do, and all the while they're not doing it. Noah is not blending in with what people are doing. Noah is standing out. He's being different. He's challenging what the world is saying and doing at this time. And I'm sure it must have been hard. I'm sure Noah must have just walked around with this uneasiness in his stomach. This feeling that everybody's against him. But Noah kept on. He told the world what God wanted them to do in order to be saved. And that's an important lesson for us to take away from what we see him doing here. When the world decided they were going to leave God, and that's what the world decides in Genesis chapter 6, they decide they're going to leave God, they're going to do their own thing, they're going to live their lives with a disregard for what God says, what God wants. And when Noah sees that, it triggers in him not timidity, not fear, but when Noah sees the world lost and in jeopardy, it triggers in him righteousness. And I hope this morning that we all respond in the same way. We're living in a world that's different from the world that Noah's was. I don't know how quantifiable those differences are. Genesis 6, 5 lets us know that world, those people there, they were thinking about bad things all the time. Well, we live in a world that could be similarly described. There are a lot of bad things filling up this world. And there are a lot of people, more than ever before, who are choosing paths differently from the one outlined in the scriptures. And it's hard for us to kind of push against that tide. Here we are. We're not alone like Noah was alone. Noah was by himself in Genesis chapter 6. At least we have one another, which is a good thing. It's a great thing. But we feel so very often all alone. Our families feel different from other people's families. We know that we're living our lives by a different set of rules, with different aims, different purposes. We know that we're not like this world that we are stuck in. And sometimes that conflict, that realization, here we are, but we're not really like this place, and we're different from everybody else. Sometimes that sends us inwardly. Sometimes that makes us just kind of not try as hard. But Noah teaches us that the wickedness in the world should trigger our righteousness. We shouldn't hide what we're doing just because the world isn't on board. We should not hide what we're doing because the world doesn't like it. We should do what God wants us to do, even though we're in a world that rejects it. Romans chapter 1 tells us about the great apostle Paul, who lived his life in its various different stages in different relationships with God. Paul was not always on the Lord's side. Paul was not always the great apostle and missionary that we know him to be now. And in Romans chapter 1, verses 14, 15, 16, the apostle Paul lets us know that he is not ashamed. That's what he declares in chapter 1, verse 16 of Romans. He's not ashamed of the gospel. He's living in a world that doesn't appreciate the gospel as much as he appreciates it. He's living in a world that doesn't value Christianity as highly as he does. And Paul says, okay, that's the breakdown, but my love for the gospel, my appreciation for the gospel is not going to change based on the world around me. And that's what I'm saying to us this morning. Our righteousness, our zeal, our fervor for the Lord shouldn't change based on people around us. Paul, speaking of him, he tells Timothy, a great star in Paul's life, a hero of the Bible as well, he tells Timothy to preach God's word when it's seasonable or when it's unseasonable. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, you preach God's word when it's in season, when it's out of season. When people like God's word, great, preach it then. But hey, when people don't like God's word, when it's out of season, guess what? Preach it then too. Because God's word needs to be heard at all times by all people. It's the only thing that can save man's soul. So when we look out and see a world that is given more to wickedness than righteousness, what do we do? What do we do? Well, we still exist as the lights of this world. We still exist as the salt of the earth. We have to make sure that God's word is more present in our lives. The wickedness of the world needs to trigger our righteousness. And we become more bold. We become more declarative of what God says. Not less, more, because the world needs it more. Now we know that it's not going to be popular. Noah knew. As Noah stared down this world with everyone thinking things, doing things, saying things, wearing things that were different from what God's will was, Noah knew that he would stick out, that they wouldn't like him, that they would make fun of him, that they would call him names, that they would laugh at him, maybe to his face, definitely behind his back. Noah knew all of that, but he still hung in. He still hung in. And that's what we need to do. We need to be like Noah in this way. Another great lesson we learn from Noah is that it is possible to be good in a bad world. It is possible. It is possible not to go with the flow. It is possible for us to be different and to make a difference. There are a lot of people who just frankly have given up this pursuit. This world that we're living in now is so bad, it's not any worse. I can't say that it's any worse than the world that Noah was living in. Can you? We read Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and following. God sees the wickedness on the earth from men, and it's horrible. Every intent and thought of man's heart was only evil continually. Hyperbole or not, that's describing a terrible, terrible situation. And it's no more terrible than the situation that we face. But here's the deal. We're not trying to compare bad world versus bad world. We're actually breaking through all of that by saying, hey, Noah was a good person in a bad world. Noah was able to change himself, right? Noah did not have to conform. We see here famously in chapter 6, verse 8, Noah finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah is living in this world and he's a just man. God sees the corruption on the earth, how it's filled with violence, verse number 11 says. And God says that he wants to get rid of this whole world except Noah. Noah is different. Noah's going to be saved. God says to Noah, Genesis chapter 6, verse 14, you make an ark out of gopher wood. God went to Noah. Why? Because Noah was more like God than the world was. And so we see Noah keeping his faith here in a difficult situation. As a preacher, you can expect that I've talked to a lot of people about the challenges of keeping our faith. And there are a lot of headwinds. You know, there are a lot of things that come up that would discourage us from keeping the faith. We've talked numbers before, and we'll talk numbers in this sermon here in just a second. We know that the trend lines are all moving in directions that we're not happy with. We know that the Lord's people here on earth are in a reducing number. We know that those people that are leaving religion, those people who are claiming to be secular, atheist, non-religious, those folks, that they are increasing in number. We have that in front of us. Census data gives us that information. We go over it. We see what's going on. We're not surprised by it. I mean, we know we have brains that can process the information around us. We know that the world is moving in the wrong direction. It shouldn't be a terrible surprise to us, and yet it kind of is, to me at least, when we get the information. It should not be a terrible surprise for a number of reasons. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, there are two roads. One is a straight and narrow path. You know what that means? That means it's really, really hard to stay on. And you have to work hard and be attentive and focus and be disciplined to stay on the straight and narrow road. On the other hand, there's a wide, broad road. And we know what that describes. That describes an easy way. You don't have to pay tons of attention to just be on this wide, broad road. You don't have to be extremely disciplined. You can go along with everybody else and be on this broad, wide road, but it leads to destruction. And Jesus says, most people, most of them are on that path. Just a few, comparatively speaking, of course, are on this straight and narrow road. So we know what's going on out there. And we also know the responsibilities that we have in the face of this to keep our faith pure and unspotted from the world that's raging around us. And the challenges are real. I mean, people leave the church, leave the Lord all the time. And it's for some of these reasons that we're alluding to. It's so hard to be different from other people. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable to be in some cases the only one in your family who is doing what the Lord wants you to do. That's not a pleasant experience. It's not a pleasant experience to stand up for marriage the way that the Lord wants us to stand up for marriage. It's not a pleasant experience to stand against abortion like the Lord wants us to and feel the judgment and feel the anger of the world. It's not fun. None of that's fun. But it's possible for us to be good in a world gone bad. And Jesus tells us that it will be worth the struggle. John in 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, 1 John 3:13 tells us not to be surprised when the world hates us. Don't marvel, don't be surprised when the world is against you, and yet so many of us are. So one of the first things that we want to do here is condition ourselves to be different. Look, if you haven't gotten the message yet, let's all get on the same page now. We are different from the world. We are going to be different from the world. We're told by the Lord that we need to come out and be separate from the world. 1 Corinthians 6:15 through 17. As a matter of fact, I know this is a fact that we review frequently, but that's okay. It's good. The repetition's good for us. The word church in the Bible comes from a pair of words that means to be called out. So when the Lord thinks about his church, he gave us the name that says we are called out from this world. We're different, and we're different in a good way, just like Noah was. We're different in a way that honors the Lord. It may make people around us mad. I'm sure Noah upset some folks. I'm sure Noah got on people's nerves. I'm sure Noah made people feel uncomfortable because of his righteousness and his goodness, but Noah was exactly what God wanted him to be. And he stands up against the world, who is all against him, and he defies those odds, and he does what God wants. Look at Genesis 6:22. Genesis 6:22 is the celebration. Genesis 6:22 is where we're told Noah did according to all that God commanded him. Noah was living in a tough time. We are living in tough times, and I have some preachers sometimes. I mean, I have some preachers that I know who sometimes say, you know, it's just too hard for us to preach everything that the Bible tells us to preach. You know, some things got to go. One preacher I know of said, you know, he's not preaching from the Old Testament anymore. Just something's got to give. There have been numerous other preachers who have said, you know what, I'm getting off marriage. I'm not going to preach on that anymore. I'm not going to preach anymore about telling people that they need to repent from their sins. I'm going to preach more. This is what some of my preacher friends say. I'm going to preach more about love and grace and that sort of stuff. We need to preach about those topics, love and grace, definitely. In fact, when we're preaching about Noah, we are preaching about love and grace. Noah found grace, after all, in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord loved Noah so much that he made this way for the world to be saved. We're preaching that, but we're also preaching obedience. We're also preaching getting down into the details and making sure that we're doing what God wants. Just like Noah did, he obeyed all of the commandments that God gave him. as you see, the details in the construction and packing of the ark. Noah did all of those things as well. Chapter 7, verse 5 tells us again, Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Listen, Noah was not a perfect, sinless soul. And when we talk about Noah, I don't want you to get that impression. I definitely don't want you to think that I think that Noah was a perfect guy. He wasn't. He was not perfect. But he was different from the world. And that's the difference we're talking about. And in a world that didn't keep God's commands, Noah did everything that God said. Again, not perfect, but faithful to God. He was a good person in a bad world. And he teaches us that we can do the same. He teaches us that our kids can be good in a bad world. Our kids are away from us a lot. It's just kind of a construct of how things break down for many families. And sometimes parents soften their resolve for their families to be good in a bad world. And it's easier for a lot of families to say, well, we're better than so-and-so. You know, our family's better than this other family. I mean, this guy over here, he has children who've left the church, and, you know, we haven't left the church. We're doing better. It's easy for us to play those kind of games. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being good, not as, you know, somebody at the lunch table would define goodness. We're talking about being good as God would define that, just like Noah did. Noah wasn't just better than the worst guy on the planet. Noah was good in God's eyes, and that's what we're striving to be. We're not just trying to be a little bit better than the worst person we can compare ourselves to. We're trying to be good in God's eyes. We're trying to be like Abraham was, a friend of God who obeys the Lord and does what he wants us to do in a world that doesn't value that. Noah did that. So can you. So can your children and grandchildren. So can all of us. I said we would talk about numbers. Here we go. Noah teaches us that saving our family equals doing a lot. You know the story of Noah's Ark. How that on it, quote, just 8 souls were saved. Sometimes Noah doesn't get the credit that he deserves. And sometimes when we talk about success and failure in God's eyes, it's a little jaded, that discussion is. Because we use a faulty measuring stick. And we want our successes to be as impactful as world successes. And that's not the way it is, and that's not the way it's ever going to be. Noah preached and preached for a long time. Noah preached. And Noah preached a consistent message. He never wavered from it. And in the end, Noah only saved 8 people, and they were just his family, quote unquote, unquote, unquote. Noah saved his family, and that's a huge accomplishment. As a man, as a preacher, as a husband and father, if I can save my family just like Noah did, I'll be a happy guy. Because saving our family is a significant task. I know, you know, we all know people whose families are not all faithful to God. If they could save their family, they would jump at the chance, I'm sure. I'm sure you agree. If we save our family, if you save your family, if the whole world saves their own family, guess what? Everybody gets saved that way. If everyone saves his family, the whole world gets saved. So Noah did a huge thing here. And we don't need to subtract from his accomplishments by poisoning the message to say he preached all those years, maybe 100 years he preached, and only saved 8 souls, and they were just his family. No, 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 no. Noah was a huge success in God's eyes. Noah was a huge success in God's eyes. Noah did exactly what God told him to do. We just looked at that twice. Genesis 6:22, Genesis 7:5. Noah did exactly what God wanted him to do, and as such, Noah was a success. If Noah would have been the only person on that boat, he would have been just as successful. If everybody in the whole world would have gotten on that boat with Noah, he would be just as successful. The fact that 8 souls were saved and they were his family, doesn't it all subtract from his success? He saved his family, and that's more than what a lot of people do. He served the Lord and brought people with him, and that's more than a lot of people do. Noah teaches us that victories are won kind of in small sets. We would love to teach and preach the gospel to everybody and baptize everyone. That would be fantastic. When we go to Brazil, we would love to evangelize that whole country, get everyone to be saved. We know that that's not the way it's going to turn out more often than not. We know these victories are going to be won on much, much smaller scales. In talking to one person, 2 people, and encouraging them to be faithful, by talking to a mom and a wife and encouraging her to keep the faith so that she can pass it on to her children, and she overcomes a trial, and the family works together to please the Lord through a tough situation that they're experiencing faith-wise, and they do that and they stay faithful, or somebody who is hearing the message of salvation and decides to be baptized. These are the victories that we're going to win. Small, sometimes infrequent, but they all add up. Noah's victory back then all adds up. And you know what? You wouldn't be here this morning were it not for Noah. We would have died in that flood all those years ago. Noah kept the faith. He encouraged his family to do the same. He wasn't a perfect man. His family wasn't a perfect family, but they were different, and they pleased the Lord. And so can you, and so can your family this morning. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, we're begging you as we wind down to become a member of it. We want you to be saved. We want your family to be saved. And if for you this morning that means you need to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, let us help you with that. We're ready. We're ready. The flood that washed the world back in Noah's day is a symbol of baptism for us today. Washing us, washing away those sins, allowing us, as Paul would say, to be risen in newness of life. If you're ready for that this morning, let us help you with that. If you want to study more about it, great. We're here to study with you. If you are already a member of the Lord's church, don't forget these lessons from Noah. He teaches us that the world's wickedness should trigger our righteousness. He teaches us that we should be different in this world, that we can be good in a world gone bad. He teaches us that saving our family and focusing our family is a very worthwhile effort. This morning, Christian, if you need to repent of sins, we would love to help you. If you need to ask God for forgiveness in a private matter, you do that privately between you and God. It's none of our business. We're not asking to know. We just want to be there to help. And if we can be there for you to help, let us know while we stand and sing. Won't you come, please?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.